Do you wear a kilt?
Oh, yeah.
This kid, I may have to come. This may look interesting.
We'll call to order the Stevensville Town Council meeting for Thursday, March 14th, 2019. Would the clerk please read the roll call?
Mayor Dooley?
Here.
Councilmember Barker?
Here.
Councilmember Holcomb?
Here.
Councilmember Phillips?
Here.
And Councilmember Michelson?
Here.
Great, thank you. If you'd please rise and join me in the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
All right. We have the approval of the minutes from February 7th, 2019 Cal meeting and February 14th council meeting. Ms. Holcomb.
I move that we approve the February 7, 2019 Cal minutes and the February 14, 2019 minutes.
Is there a second?
Second.
Okay. It's been moved by Ms. Holcomb and seconded by Mr. Phillips to approve February 7, 2019 Cal minutes and February 14, 2019 council minutes. Council discussion. Okay. Public comment? Hearing none, I'll call for the vote. Councilmember Michelson?
Aye.
Councilmember Barker?
Aye.
Councilmember Phillips?
Aye.
Councilmember Holcomb?
Aye.
Next on the agenda is approval of the biweekly claims. April, do you want to talk about the two sets of packets that they have on their desk tonight? Sure. Yes, please.
See, there are two copies of reports. The first one, you'll notice there's a note that says we were paid out of cycle due to the meeting having been canceled. They were included in that original packet for the 28th meeting. I just, because of the meeting being canceled, I had to get those bills paid to avoid late fees. So there's the listing of what was paid previously, and then as well as the current bills.
Is there a motion from council? Ms. Holcomb.
I move that we approve the biweekly claims.
Okay, is there a second? Is there a second to pay the claims? Mr. Michelson.
I'd like to make a motion. If you would retract yours, please.
I'll retract my motion.
Ms. Holcomb's motion's been retracted. Mr. Michelson.
I'd like to make a motion that we accept the biweekly claims, except for claim number 15062. Excuse me. 15063, C.H. Rousseabouts, LLC, Project Snowbegone. 15064, Rocky Road Enterprises, 5040. 15065, Landmark Excavating. 15066, Yoder Gravel. 15067, Sam Yoder. And that would be it. The reason that I do not believe that I can support the snow removal project, it did not come before council before approval prior to this claims.
Is there a second to the motion? Ms. Holcomb.
I'll second it.
Okay. Ms. Trivinsky, can you repeat the motion, please?
I cannot. I couldn't hear the numbers.
Do you want me to
repeat? Would you repeat the numbers, please?
Yes. I'd like to make a motion to approve the biweekly claims, except for claim number, excuse me here, I got the wrong one. Yeah. It would be claim number 15063, C.R. Elstabout, LLC, Snowbegon. 15064, Rocky Road Enterprises. 15065, Landmark Excavating. 15066, Yoder Gravel. And 15067, Sam Yoder.
Okay, it's been moved by Mr. Michelson and seconded by Ms. Holcomb to approve biweekly claims with the exception of claim numbers 15063, 15064, 15065, 15066, and 15067. Council discussion. Mr. Michelson.
I did some studying here, and the reason I cannot support this is due to our, for starters, our municipal code 2-400. I'd like to read that into the record, please. It's called the emergencies. The provisions of section 2-399 is advertisement for bids shall not apply upon the happening of any emergency caused by fire, flood, explosion, storm, earthquake, riot, insurrection, or any other similar emergency, but in such case the council may proceed in any matter which in a judgment of three-fourths of the members of the council present at the meeting, duly recorded, and that the proceedings of the council by aye and a nay vote will best meet the emergency and of the public interest. Such emergency shall be declared and recorded at length in the minutes of the proceedings of the council at the time of the vote therein is taken and recorded. I believe this was not done. Also, under Montana state law, a nominated code, I do have a section here. It's called Expenditures Limited to Appropriations, Part 40, Local Government Budget Act, 7-6-4005. Expenditures Limited to Appropriations. Local government officials may not make a disbursement or an expenditure or incur an obligation in expense to the total appropriations for a fund. A local government official who violates subsection 1 is liable for the amount of the excess disbursement, expenditure, or obligation personally. That there is state law. The first one I read is in our Montana, our local municipal code book, and for those reasons and those reasons alone, I cannot accept the snow removal that was done here in town. I don't think that should go to the taxpayer. It did not go through council. It was done by authority of the mayor. The mayor did not have authority to grant that, to go and just hire local people to do the snow removal. He did not have council approval, as I read here. And if he does his research, he'll find the same fact. Thank you.
Further council conversation. Ms. Holcomb.
Can I talk, ask about this one?
The cycle?
Mm-hmm.
You can ask about anything related to the claims we're approving.
So these claims have already been paid?
Correct.
Why wasn't it brought to the council to approve these?
We didn't have a meeting.
Then they shouldn't have been paid.
I think as the finance officer explained, we didn't want to incur any late fees in not paying those bills, so we went ahead and paid the bills. It was an extenuating circumstance. It doesn't snow like that very often. When it does, we have to continue on with business. Ms. Barker.
I think in December we have only one meeting that we hold, and those claims are pushed until another cycle comes up. So why aren't these the same?
We pre-arrange those cycles. So in November we set a date that says all that will allow claims to be paid out of cycle. We pay the claims out of cycle and you see them after the fact. just as we're doing tonight.
But we approve it.
After the checks are cut. You approve those claims after the checks are cut. Again, this was an extenuating circumstance. Was out of my control. We canceled the meeting and we needed to pay the bills. Mr. Michelson.
May I ask who canceled the meeting, sir?
I did.
According to council rules in Montana law, I don't think the mayor has the authority to officially cancel a meeting.
Then who does?
I believe if you look at council rules, you'll see that the mayor can only run a meeting. The council has to come together, like it said in the code, and have a three-quarters majority to either cancel a meeting. That's why we have a meeting in November and December to suspend the rules, so we can have one meeting both months during the holidays. I just don't think that the mayor has the authority to cancel a meeting. This is the council's meeting. This is the council's meeting. This is not the mayor's meeting. Tonight's meeting is a council meeting. Your job is to monitor the meeting and run the meeting. It is our job to delegate, do the laws, do our discussion, debate, and move on, sir. That is it's just my thoughts. I don't think you legally had the authority to cancel a council meeting. And that started the whole ball rolling and all this stuff. Thank you.
With a council comment. Okay, so we've got a little over $25,000 worth of bills on the claims tonight that you're refusing to pay for services we hired and were rendered to the community. So I guess if you have an issue with an emergency not being declared, is that the issue, that the emergency wasn't declared and so we didn't have any way of moving forward? We haven't exceeded appropriations. Mr. Michelson.
I believe you should have called a special meeting. We could have discussed it, as I said, and I read that in the thing, three-quarters of a majority would have discussed it on an emergency. It's in our town municipal code, 2-400.
But to be clear, the council doesn't declare the emergency.
The mayor really can't either.
Yes, absolutely I can. I have sole authority by Montana code. I'm the only person in this municipality that can declare an emergency or a disaster.
Could you show me where that's at?
Absolutely. So we're looking at Montana Code Title 10, Chapter 3, Part 4. So this is 10-3-402, Local Emergency Declaration and Termination. A local emergency proclamation or disaster declaration may be issued only by the principal executive officer of a political subdivision. An emergency proclamation may be issued by order or resolution whenever the principal executive officer determines there is an emergency. An emergency proclamation may terminate with a disaster declaration or when the principal executive officer determines that the emergency no longer exists.
If you want to back that up, doesn't that say by resolution or that would be done by the council?
I can issue a proclamation or a resolution on my own. In this case, I am the only person who can declare an emergency. My question is...
You said order.
And I can do an order. So my question is, if I declare an emergency, mm-hmm. or if I had declared an emergency, would this issue be resolved? Would we be able to move forward on paying the bills?
If you what?
If I had declared an emergency, would we be having this conversation tonight? To pay the bills? We owe these people money.
That's not my issue. like I read earlier, on the snow removal, sir.
So you wanted me... So I asked everybody to stay home so we could get the streets cleared. So you wanted me to put your own safety at risk to call a special meeting and give 48 hours of notice when we had snow falling. We had no place to put it. I mean, this absolutely sounds ridiculous, you guys. Ms. Barker.
You may think it sounds ridiculous, but I'm here to tell you also that in 96, when we had snowfall, this town never went under a emergency situation. We dealt with it. We dealt with the snow. We didn't hire contractors. If you would have possibly come, you know, called a meeting to us and said, hey, this is what we're looking at. These are the contractors. We haven't seen a contract. We haven't seen how much it was going to cost the town at all. And now we got this bill that's dropped on top of us for $25,000 or close to $30,000. I'm sorry. There's a problem.
I sent you all an email explaining what my plan was moving forward, and I heard zero from anybody.
But you could have also called it an emergency meeting.
Ms. Holcomb.
The reason I have a problem with this is protocol wasn't followed. And I'm with Councilmember Barker that all you had to do was call. We can't email, because then we get criticized or accused that we're doing an open forum. So all you had to do was call emergency meetings saying, okay, this is what we need to do. Run and show us the contracts. We wouldn't have had a problem with it. But when does this stop? That the council, you pretty much can't do anything without the council's approval. So when do we start approving some of the stuff that happens in this town?
You approve all of it every year in the budget, unless it snows 3 feet.
Well,
Ms. Barker.
You brought to us a plan, and I remember asking about the contractors. And again, it was we have a standing relationship with whoever. That's not the point. The point is that these are contracts. These are people. Maybe we could have got in with somebody lower. We don't know that. Those bids should have been brought to us prior to. And you had said, oh, I don't think we have anything to worry about that.
I didn't think we were going to get 3 feet of snow.
It doesn't matter, Brandon. You still have a certain time. It's a protocol that you have to follow too. And obviously you're laughing about it, thinking it's a joke. It's not a joke. We have protocol that we have to follow. We have bids that went out there that we didn't see. We don't know how much this is coming to. Again, just slide it under the carpet. Let's make it good. That's what's happened.
We didn't slide anything under the carpet.
The taxpayers have to pay part of that too. It comes out of their money. We're spending taxpayers' money.
They're driving on the streets we cleared. They should pay for it.
Oh, really?
Oh,
yeah.
You
should drive down our street.
Okay. Is there any further council comment on the claims? Public comment. Chief Marble.
So, just listening to this, it seems like there's actually two separate issues here. There's a procedural issue on how it was handled, but then there's paying the bills. And I think, you know, in this particular case, the council should look at it compartmentally. We've got to pay the bills or not pay the bills, and then address in a separate council meeting, maybe as an agenda item, say, let's address this procedural aspect of this and how this is handled so we can address it for the future. But I think you really have to focus on, are we going to pay these bills or are we not going to pay them? Just throwing that out there.
Further public comment. Mr. Cruz, step to the podium, please.
Jim Cruz, 316 9th Street, Steveville, Montana. So I guess the question or the concern that I have is, you have Title 10, Declaration of Emergency, but you have a town ordinance that further restricts that declaration. Under Section 2-400, Emergencies, the provision in Section 2-399 as to the advertisement forbids shall not apply upon the happening of any emergency caused by fire, flood, explosion, storm, earthquake, riot, or insurrection, or any other emergency, similar emergency, but in such case, the council may proceed in any manner which, in the judgment of 3/4 of the members of the council present at the meeting, duly recorded in the minutes of the proceedings of the council by aye and nay vote, will best meet the emergency and serve the public interest. Such emergency shall be declared and recorded at length in the minutes of the proceedings of the council at the time the vote therein is taken, thereon is taken and recorded. Well, I follow what's going on in town pretty closely, and I never saw anything that said we declared an emergency. So that kind of negates what you're saying. And by canceling a council meeting, you took the authority away from the council. So if this was such a big deal, why didn't we call a special meeting? Because that's one of the meetings that a mayor can call. There's no such thing as an emergency council meeting. There's a special meeting. And a regularly scheduled meeting, which is in council rules, which is controlled by the council. The council votes to determine the days which they will meet. Those meetings are established by the council. So if I remember everything I learned in my government training, the only way that a council meeting can really get canceled is if you don't have a quorum. But a special meeting can be called, yes, with 48 hours notice. And that would have been a great way to handle this. So you don't have an emergency meeting. Council meeting got canceled. No special meeting was called. So the council didn't get to be involved in any of these decisions. And as a private citizen, that concerns me significantly because, yes, it is my tax dollars. And, yes, I am concerned about how they're being spent. And even after the snow removal has happened, we still have ruts down our street, and some streets deep enough to drag on the bottom of my wife's car, which I don't really want my wife's car damaged. So we still have that problem. But I think that's the real crux of the situation, as somebody would say. Council should have been involved, in my opinion. Thank you.
Further public comment? Mr. Moore.
Well, my name is Joe Moore, 514 Central. First, I guess I'm going to respond to, I didn't hear a question from Mr. Cruz, so I don't know what he was trying to say. That's appropriate. Secondly, I came to most appropriately say that I appreciated having the streets cleaned, and I wanted to thank you for the action. Now, I agree with the chief. There seems to be another protocol issue here about whether or not you want to talk about how we conduct business, but I'll remind you, like I have, and I continue to remind you, that if this is a good opportunity to provide for the positiveness of the town, so be it. But I, as a citizen, I know all the streets aren't as clean. My street isn't exactly clean, but the majority of the streets are doing well, and I want to thank you all for your efforts, and I'm sorry that you felt that you were being slighted by not making the decisions. But I want to thank you. That's what I wanted to first come and say.
For the public comment. Okay, hearing none, we'll call for the vote. Again, the motion is to approve the biweekly claims with the exception of claim number 15063 through 15067. Councilmember Phillips.
Aye.
Councilmember Barker.
No.
Councilmember Holcomb.
No.
And Councilmember Michelson.
No.
Okay, motion fails. How would you like to proceed on paying the bills? Councilmember Michelson.
I'd like to redirect my motion again. I think there's some confusion among some council members here. I agreed to make a motion to accept paying all the biweekly claims, except, as you just said, Mr. Mayor, the following claims of the ones that you just listed of the snow removal. And that would be my decision as far as accepting all the other claims except for the snow removal ones. So if I could redirect my motion again, I would redo that. and if we could entertain a re-vote on this. I think there's just some confusion by voting no, we're dropping all the claims. But by voting yes, we're accepting all the claims except for the ones that I had mentioned, which is the snow removal. Does that sound correct, sir?
Mr. Michelson has made a motion to approve all the biweekly claims except for claim numbers 15063 through 15067, correct?
That is correct, sir.
Is there a second? Ms. Barker.
I'll second the motion.
Okay, it's been moved by Mr. Michelson and seconded by Ms. Barker to approve the biweekly claims accepting 15063 through 15067. Council comment. Mr. Michelson.
I'd like to redirect that to start at 15063 up to 15070. Am I correct on that? Or do I have the wrong one, sir?
I'm not.
I'm sorry for the confusion.
I don't know. I mean, I wrote down five numbers from the first motion, and now you're adding to it.
Okay, sir. I'd like to make a motion to accept all the biweekly claims.
Are you amending your original motion?
Yes.
Okay.
I'd like to make a motion to accept all the biweekly claims except for 15064.
No.
15063, CH Roustabouts, Project Snow Be Gone. 15064 for Rocky Road Enterprises. 15065 for Landmark Excavating. 15066 for Yoder Gravel. 15067 for Sand Yoder.
That's the same exact.
This one. That's one. And 15070.
That's the one you were.
Yeah.
Okay, Mr. Michelson has amended his motion to add claim number 15070 to the list of claims not to be paid. Is there a second on the amendment? Ms. Barker.
Second the motion.
Okay. It's been moved and seconded to amend the original motion to include 15070 as the exceptions of payment. Discussion on the amendment. Public comment on the amendment. Hearing none, we'll vote for the amendment. An aye vote is in favor of excluding 15070. Councilmember Michelson.
Aye.
Councilmember Holcomb.
Aye.
Councilmember Barker.
Aye.
Councilmember Phillips.
Aye.
Okay, the motion on the floor now is to approve the biweekly claims with the exception of 15063, 15064, 15065, 15066, 15067, and 15070. Council discussion. Public comment. Okay, hearing none, I'll call for the vote. An aye vote approves the claims with the exception of those listed. Councilmember Phillips.
Aye.
Councilmember Barker?
Aye.
Councilmember Holcomb?
Aye.
Councilmember Michelson?
Aye.
Motion passes. Let's move on to administrative reports. Finance, April.
The auditors here February 19th and 20th to audit the finances, the financial statements for fiscal year ending June 30th of 18. We cleared all of the findings from prior year audits, and we anticipate getting a report within the next month. They have until June 30th, but they're usually pretty quick to get that turnaround time. After I published the finance report, I got a notice from the Montana Aeronautics Division notifying us officially that another of the airport loans has been paid in full. That leaves us two more. The next one will be paid off in 2023 and the final one in 2027. So that makes it easy for us to make those debt service payments through the TED fund as a transfer from that fund.
Any questions for April? Ms. Barker?
I noticed that our billing has gone up again. So have we sent out notices on those again for those that are that 100 and whatever days?
Yeah, she sends out 10-day notices. As soon as she's finished with the billing, she'll send out 10-day notices to those in the 120-day category. And 9 times out of 10, that brings them in a hurry. But if it doesn't, then she sends George out with the pink shut-off notices, and then they pay.
So are some of those possibly on a payment plan as well, so they are getting paid?
Mm-hmm.
So, okay.
Yeah. So it's kind of rotating. It's not the same people. Everyone.
Okay.
Mr. Michelson.
April, do you have a copy of that the check for the defibrillator from the Lost Trail Pass that they paid us? Because I couldn't find it in the claims in the cash.
It wouldn't be because it wasn't a claim.
It should have showed up in the cash engine.
Yeah, but you don't
ever
get the detail of that.
Hmm?
You don't ever get the detail of that.
You don't see the details of that?
It was deposited December 27th. And I did get a copy, because I knew it was a cause for concern, I did get a copy of it from the bank.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't have it on me right now, but I have it available if you want to see it.
Okay, thank you.
Mm-hmm. Further council comments or questions for April? Okay, thank you. Police Department Chief.
Okay, so coffee with the cop was well attended. We had the American Legion Auxiliary Group there, great group of folks. Just want to throw out there that Saturday is their 100-year celebration, and everybody should go, and it's going to be pretty awesome. It's going to be at the Legion Hall. It's kind of all day. I think you just look at their Facebook page, it has all the hours. They have a lot of door prizes, different things. So anyway, I just want to throw that out there. Councilmember Michelson requested the police department provide an inventory list of our property, which we did. We will come to you, I don't know how soon, probably within the next 6 months, I'm going to say, with a list of surplus equipment and equipment that we're going to request that we dispose of. So anticipate that coming up. We do have some things that are just outdated, and we just need to get rid of them and see if we can recover any kind of value from them. We're getting close to completion of the FTO for Mr. Oberhofer for his field training. I'm anticipating we should have that done by the end of this month. Right now we're just really scrutinizing over policies and doing some things. And I'm kind of doing a simultaneous review at the same time as we're going through them, which is actually kind of handy, especially since we're looking at bringing on another one. And he has done some focused patrols on Second Street. I know that that's been an issue in the past with with the kids leaving for lunch and coming down there. And he's been successful in helping to slow down the traffic in that particular area. I know that we can do a little bit more in as far as patrol goes with regards to the students, but as of late, we've been pretty busy, oddly, and I think it's just spring fever. People are getting antsy to get back out there and looking forward to summertime. So we're moving forward with the Stevensville Crime Watch program. We're still looking for zone captains. Still not out there again for particular zones. We're going to start hopefully fairly soon on doing some training for zone captains, and I would like to see that project really kind of get a little bit more from the community if we can. So be sure to spread that around. For the month of January, we have 51 calls for service, 67 calls for February, And I thought it was important to note that 28 of those calls were between the 25th and the 1st, snow-related. You know, tons of slide-offs. There was tons of people stuck in there and everywhere. So we spent a lot of time going around trying to help those folks dig out and help in ways that are kind of, I think, unique to our community. I know there's a lot of people that volunteered, which is awesome, and I really appreciate the community coming together for that. I know that, you know, we were out driving around looking at residences that appeared to be snowed in and determining if they needed help. One in particular on College Street, we made a contact with an elderly couple that had, I mean, snow was, they had no way to get in and out of their house. They had no way to get in, you know, their vehicle, get to anywhere. So the great thing was is that the neighbors came together for that, but had they not, we had, through the mayor's office, we had plans set in place with volunteers that would come out and shovel people out. So it was really a great thing. So, and that's one thing I got to say about Stevensville is no matter what the issues are, no matter how much everybody can sometimes butt heads around here, I know that we all come together when it matters. And this snow season was difficult for a lot of people, and it was encouraging to see how much support that we really have for that. So thank you to everybody. That's all I got.
Thanks, Chief. Any questions from the council? Mr. Michelson?
Chief James, could you give me, just off the top of your head, I know last year for a while there you were pretty heavy in investigations. I know you still are, that's what you do. Could you give me the ratio of the investigations going to the investigation solved? Do you have that?
We have that in our computer system, but I don't have numbers ready for you right now. But I can tell you that part of the plan here too is that when we're looking at bringing on that third officer, and when we do that, he's got quite a history with investigative experience, and I'm hoping that when he comes on, he can take a lot of those that are still outstanding and deal with them. Of course, and I've said this before, that felony investigations take priority, obviously, because they're, you know, almost always more serious than the misdemeanor investigations. So there's a lot of them that unfortunately are still outstanding. Maybe they can have a resolution, maybe they can't. I mean, it really depends on the circumstances. So especially when he comes on, I think we're gonna have a more focused effort on diving into more of those investigations, getting them cleared better. The other problem that we're running into with our NOVA system, unfortunately, when they were bought out, Motorola bought out the company, and their support side of things kind of dropped off the cliff. And it's really frustrating for us. We've got some incident-based reporting issues. Those are the stats that we have to report to the state of Montana. And so, unfortunately, because of that, I feel like our numbers, we're really trying to dial them in, but they're askew because of elements that are outside of our control. And we're trying to get NOVA to address those issues, and they said they're working on them, but unfortunately, today, actually, isn't it today when the due date for IDRs? So we got all of our 2018 data submitted, but I know it's not complete. And that's really frustrating to me because there's nothing I can do about that. We're still trying to work with them. We might be able to kind of do something after the fact, but when they do their 2018 report, I don't think it's going to reflect new data that we provide to them. So our clearance rates are going to be affected just because of that, because we have issues with the IVR. So hopefully, it's been a source of tremendous frustration for both Janelle and I, but hopefully we are enough of a burr in their saddle to where they're going to say, okay, we're going to get it handled for you. The unfortunate thing is, I mean, they were great guns starting out. They were a great program. They really got some traction in Montana. And then I saw it when this buyout took place and they kind of restructured. They kind of had the attitude like, well, you know, this isn't our bread and butter here. Yeah, we'll keep these people here, but it's almost like we're we're there, but we're not, you know, it's just kind of, that's the NOAA group over there. So there's a, subsequently, there's a lot of agencies throughout Montana that have dropped them. And that's extremely expensive for us because of data migration. So if we take our data and move it over to another company, you're looking at $30,000 to $50,000 to do that. It's insane. So obviously, we need to stick with what we got and really try and get them to come around. We're putting forth a lot of effort, but unfortunately, we're going to have some issues. We're going to have some errors, and that's just, it is what it is. So, but I can, if you want numbers next time for clearance rates, that's what you're asking about.
Make sure you don't get those investigations
versus clearance. Yeah,
that's the claimed ones that sold.
Yeah,
that's what an issue last year. You were getting it down for a while, and then it kind of went away. And now I've got you back up here. That's just a question that came up in my head right now.
Yes, let's see what we can put together. Tangible numbers here for next council meeting. I'll include that in the report. Can you make notes of that? Okay.
Okay. Sounds very good. Thank you, sir.
No problem.
Any further questions for the chief from the council? Okay. Thanks, chief.
Thanks.
Fire Department, Chief Motley.
So you can see our department is vastly different than it has in the past. Reason being, we are in the midst of switching over our software program from Firehouse to ImageTrend. ImageTrend Elite 5. So here's what we have. This is our January report. In January, we had 6 lifts, assists, 2 fire alarms, no fire false alarm calls. 14 calls, Marcus Daly, ambulance assist, and 24 members on the down roster with no new hires. We've been doing trainings on the new fire software. We'll knock on wood that we get to go live tomorrow after tomorrow's training. And that will get us back live so that we will be able to enter all of January and February and March's runs, activity reports. Training hours, all that data will get, it will be plugged in and caught up. So then we'll be able to give you a very nice, detailed, oriented report as to what's been going on since the first of the year. Right now, we are just tracking everything, doing all our paper copies and all that, waiting until we can get the data downloaded into this new software program. What we have done is we have married up our fire reporting software, the ImageTrend Elite Fire, with our medical reporting software, which is mandated by the state. So we've got to integrate those two systems together and get all of our information plugged into the fireside and train them how to work it. And that's what we've been doing. And hopefully, like I said, we'll get you live tomorrow and put all that information in, and we'll be able to give you a nice report next meeting. Other than that, it's been business as usual, and I'd like to jump on with but Chief Marvel said, we put out Facebook kind of round through the grapevine, however you want to say it, that we needed fire hydrants dug out because they were buried and gone. And it was amazing the response we got from local community members, neighbors, walk across the street, dig up the fire hydrant, dig it out after it's plowed back in, whatever, maintain that. We also had staff go out and dig out another one. But again, it was the community members that said, hey, it needs to be done, saw something needed to be done, and did it. It was cool, it was great. So, that's kind of my report. Other than that, we are just beginning a new firefighter one cadet training program. Last weekend was the hazmat component of that. Next weekend, we'll be out at the Pop Building with 3 Mile training crews. We have one new member going through for our initial Firefighter 1 cert, and one going through to recert their Firefighter 1 nationwide qualification. So that's the crew that we're putting through this year. And again, that's going to be about a 4-weekend process to get crew through that. So that's going on. We will be out Saturday morning at the Wildlife Refuge, Lee Metcalf, doing our red card arduous pack test for red card for firefighter season. For the wildfire season coming up. So we'll be out walking our 3 miles in 45 minutes, doing that. So we're just kind of getting things lined up for the annual burning of the fence posts when the snow melts. Away we go. So, any questions?
Any questions from council for the chief?
Nope.
Mr. Michelson.
First off, I want to thank your wife, Vicki. I seen her with a shovel in her hand going around doing hydrants. Thank you, Vicki Molly. There's other people that are doing that in town. My second question is, does the town and the rural fire departments share the same rosters? Because I know it's on the rosters of our town website. If you go to the rural website, there's people on both of them. So I know you guys share everything. You know, after discussion with the rural, and I got a lot figured out, and thank God that I was able to cipher in my stuff how you guys share stuff. But before that, I didn't realize what between rural and the city and how close you guys are interconnected really are. So my only question is, when I see the roster on our new website, I go to the rural website, and I see, well, I see him on both of them.
Mm-hmm. And you see me on both of them. Yes. And you see a lot of people.
And so I see a lot of people on theirs, on ours.
The answer to the question.
Yep.
Historically, it has always been that if you were on the town roster, you were also a member of the district department or the district roster. Back in the day, when the town had a larger number of volunteers than the district did not, it was advantageous for the district to include the town roster as members of their department as well. And they also then established the Burnt Fork Fire Company, which is housed next door. So that's where the town roster members became members of the district roster. However, the town had qualifications to be on the town roster that you had to live within a certain radius of town for a response time in order to be on the town's roster. So it wasn't necessarily a reciprocal deal. So over the years, we have expanded the town's roster, and we have changed that restriction to where we're not saying you have to live within 2 miles of the station. We've done it more in a response time. So you need to be able to respond to the station in a certain amount of time, then we'll put you on the town roster. You also, to be on the town roster, have to go and abide by the town personnel policy. That's all part of that. And so on the town roster, the town covers their workers' comp insurance if they're on the town roster. If they meet the qualifications to be a volunteer for the town and you follow the personnel policy and you do all those things, then you can be on the town roster. The town will cover your comp insurance and you're on the town roster, which also puts you on the district roster. If you're solely on the district roster, then the district covers your workers' comp for you. Okay? So everybody, all volunteers are covered by workers' compensation. If you're on the town roster or the district roster, it doesn't matter. But rather than double paying workers' comp on those that are on both rosters, we've separated and we've agreed that, well, if you're on the town roster, town covers your work comp. If you're solely on the district roster, then we cover those. But if you're on both, depending on your primary, then that's who covers that work comp. Well, not necessarily. So, an example, I live in town and I want to be on the town roster, but I don't want to obey the personnel policy. Well, then I can't be on the town roster, but I can be on the district roster, and I can serve and volunteer through the district. But I'm not on the town roster. On the district roster. Okay. If I wanted to go abide by all the personnel policies and things that the town has, because now we have a personnel policy manual that you as a volunteer have to abide by, then great, you're on the town roster. So if you're on the town roster, the town takes care of equipping those individuals. If you're on the district roster, the district equips you. And that's how we cost share the turnouts and why we buy 12 SCBAs and they buy 23 SCBAs. That's how all that gets married up in the cake, if you will. Mm-hmm. At first blush, you look at it and you kind of go, huh? Yeah. But after you've been through it a few times, you go, oh, okay, I get it. I understand that now. Mm-hmm. And I'll be glad to sit down and draw it out and show you how all that, you know, working all plays. And we do that through an interlocal agreement. That's the contract that allows the two different governmental agencies to
work together
and commingle. And that contract then also spells out how we may cost share, if we need to cost share, or how all those things operate. And it also spells out or operating procedures on the fire ground, who's in charge, how that all works. And that all ties back into the SOP, Standing Operating Procedures, or guidelines that we've jointly developed, that we both departments adhere to and work under. That's how we cooperate. Mm-hmm. And as you're aware, we do need to redo an interlocal agreement or mutual aid agreement, or however that piece needs to come about. We do have one in place, but we do need to revisit that and redirect that and update that and make sure we're doing what the town feels we need to do. And then that's another conversation. Mm-hmm. Answer your question and make it more money?
Yes, it does.
Perfect. Can't convince them, confuse them.
I'm more confused. They cleared up a lot of it.
Yeah. Right. We can explain all that to you. It's easier one-on-one. Yeah.
Sometime I can sit down with you and then go through with it.
Any further questions from council for the fire chief? Okay, thanks, Jeff. George isn't able to join us for his public works report this evening. He's, I believe, on a public works issue at the moment and won't be joining us. So his report is included in your packet, as well as the building report and the city court annual report. The typo on your agenda, it says the airport board report. It's meant to just be the airport administrative report. However, Craig Thomas is here. Craig, do you want to share any happenings of the airport administratively?
Yes. Craig Thomas, 4189 Inver Lane, Peterborough, Montana, 5970, airport board chair. Since Manager Baggy is able to attend today, a couple things. We've been operating at the airport pretty quietly as standard operations, snowplow, regular in and out, those kind of things, waiting to see if we received any federal funds. And after the conference, which Dan Benton did not attend. He stayed, he's the airport assistant manager. He stayed to plow, and Don Whitehair and Paula Baggy went to the conference. What they conferred to me is there has been, and our engineer as well, Morrison Mary Tyler, said that they have been, in the first rounds, Montana received no funding. So they're going into a second round now. And it's all with the federal shutdown and all these other things. Nobody really knows where anybody is actually at. So we're patiently waiting to see if we receive any funding to complete our 5-year operational plan. So the airport's operating. We have a new NOTAM procedure, which one of our volunteers, Don Lorenzo, spent about 4 months getting it down, and it's quite simple, but it took him a long time to locate everybody in the FAA to actually find out how to do this. So that's in place now. And that's about all we have time. Thank you.
Any questions for Craig? Thanks for coming in. Appreciate it. All right, we'll move on. There's no guests to recognize tonight, so we'll get into correspondence. There's two items that were included. First is an email from Stephanie Mapelli, dated March 6th. It states, "My sincere thanks to the mayor and town staff for the care they took of us during our recent snow event. Using social media, the mayor kept us and is still keeping us well informed about hazardous driving conditions, travel restrictions, road work, giving us suggestions on how to cope with many feet of snow, and brightening our day by turning on the Main Street lights. George and his public works crew pulled heroic duty to make our roads passable and safe, and our town came together to take care of each other, with many volunteers shoveling and plowing out neighbors and strangers alike. May this strong sense of community continue far into the future as we are stronger together than we are apart." Stephanie D. Appelli, 203 St. Mary's Drive. The next is dated March 7th, 2019. Dear Mayor Dewey and Town of Stevensville employees, we wanted to take a minute to commend you all for your efforts, or for the efforts you took to keep our main roads accessible and the public informed during last week's winter storm. The fact that Public Works is short-staffed and working with minimal equipment only adds to the astonishment of what you were able to accomplish. Town Hall's collection and maintenance of a volunteer list is a prime example of what this town is about, community first. The coordination of efforts between Public Works, the Montana Department of Transportation, and private contractors speaks volumes as to what can be accomplished when agencies come together and work for a common goal as a team. We know every employee of the town took part in making last week as easy as possible for everyone, and we wanted to recognize and thank you all for your hard work and dedication. Amy Berglund, owner of Active Care Family Chiropractic, Renee Christensen, office manager at Active Care Family Chiropractic, Christine Messix, Shirley O'Hearn, owner of Sama Massage, James Fix, owner Your Energy Fix, and Andrea Buchanan, owner of Cedar and Sage Herbal Medicine. All right, this is the point in the agenda where we'll take public comment. You can comment on anything on tonight's agenda or under the jurisdiction of the town of Stevensville. Please step forward to the podium, state your name and address for the record, and make sure you sign the public comment sheet at the door. You'll have an opportunity to comment on an item if a decision is made on that item. Public comment. Ms. Howell.
Victoria Howell, 609 Middleburg Park, and also with the Bitter Star. I just wanted to let you know that on social media last week there was a comment by a council member's spouse, and it had to do with a challenge to the Bitterroot Star to look into the possible misuse of funds by the mayor. A couple of items that the town paid for, and allegedly the mayor did not pay these back or something to that effect. So I contacted the mayor. And one of them had to do with a trip. He went to a convention or something, and he went there early and apparently did had some personal time, and so he was supposed to pay any part of that back to the town that wasn't the town business. And the second one had to do with the purchase of something called an AED for the Lost Trail Ski Patrol, and the town apparently was purchasing some of these, and Lost Trail Ski Patrol got one. So what I did was I requested the proof of if there was any for that this was paid back, and I got copies of the canceled checks. The mayor paid back his personal portion of that trip to wherever it was, Billings or somewhere. And the Lost Trail Ski Patrol paid for their AED before they even received the AED. So I don't know why this needed to be looked into. Apparently somebody was still concerned about this, and so I thought I should let everybody know that it was paid back in a timely manner.
Further public comment? Right. Hearing none, we'll move on to unfinished business, 9A. Standing agenda item, discussion decision regarding the response and recommendation report regarding complaint filed by town clerk, Audrey Shivency. In your packet, in the council communication, it kind of reviews what's going on, where we're at. The reason it's on the agenda tonight is to give you an opportunity to address anything that has not yet been addressed. You've discussed, or as far as recommended actions out of my report, one being maintain the remedies established during the investigation. You've discussed that, but you've not taken any action. There's other things in progress, and you've not addressed any consideration of disciplinary actions. The code of conduct is coming up later on, actually, the next agenda item. So that's something you are undertaking, but I want to give you a chance to discuss any further actions that the council may take. Okay. 9B, discussion update regarding the draft code of conduct for elected and appointed officials. The primary reason this is on here tonight is we've made the corrections, additions, suggestions, those things, as a result of the Cal meeting where we discussed this item. And so my question to you is, you've had obviously a chance to review this for some time, or this version of it. My question is, do we need to schedule another Cal meeting for this item, or is everyone comfortable enough with it that we can bring it onto the next council agenda for decision? Mr. Michelson.
I'm comfortable with, after reviewing this and after having our city attorney look at it and make the corrections of it from the Cal meeting, I am comfortable with moving it up to the next council meeting for a decision on it.
Okay.
To make this a part of our, it just have to be in the form of a resolution, sir?
Yeah, we'll adopt it by resolution.
Okay.
Mr. Phillips.
There's already a resolution written on this, 444. Mm-hmm. When I first draft,
okay,
I started a resolution. We could use that, I believe. Mm-hmm. And so that resolution, we can just bring that forward.
Okay.
It's in the queue, ready to go.
Yes.
So it's just a matter.
What I would suggest, when we make the changes that have been implemented there, that we do a final read, you know, as an individual basis, make sure grammatical errors are corrected. I noticed a couple of grammatical errors on there that we'll have to look at.
Okay.
But the wording looks fine.
Great. All right. Any further comment from council? Otherwise, we'll bring this forward to the next council meeting for action. Moving on to new business then. Discussion decision. Oh, excuse me, Mr. Michelson.
Mr. Mayor, could I entertain a 5-minute recess?
Does anybody have a problem with 5-minute recess? Okay, we'll recess for 5 minutes.
Thank you, sir.
She's sinking. Oh, you're sinking.
I let it go. Every time I move, it just sinks.
Because of being
my concern,
it's
a little
bit
Possible, thank you so much.
At the next meeting, it will be on the agenda for approval. Convene the town council meeting for Thursday, March 14th, 2019. We are on new business, item A, discussion decision to approve resolution 445, a resolution of the town council, the town of Stevensville, Montana, providing for the amendment of the budget fiscal year 2018-19. You held a public hearing on this prior to this meeting at 6:30 to receive public comment. This is essentially a formality where at a previous meeting you essentially blessed the chief to move forward on ordering SCBAs with the intent to come forward for a budget amendment to increase the spending authority out of Fund 4002 in the amount of $18,000. To entertain a motion to approve Resolution 445. Ms. Barker.
I make a motion to approve Resolution 445, a resolution of the Town Council of the Town of Stevensville, Montana, providing for the amendment of budget for the fiscal year 2018-2019 in the amount of $18,000.
Okay, is there a second? Mr. Michelson?
I second that, sir.
Okay, it's been moved by Ms. Barker and seconded by Mr. Michelson to approve Resolution 445. A resolution of the Town Council of the Town of Stevensville, Montana, providing for the amendment of the budget for the fiscal year 2018-2019 in the amount of $18,000. Council discussion. Public comment. Chief Motley.
So the whole reason that we're coming and doing a budget amendment to move things around is when we set the budget back in July, we hadn't been awarded the grant. So we didn't know that we were going to be expending. So we were unable in July to say, yeah, we need to spend authority on this money. So then we were awarded the grant, and we did get the order placed, and that all happened in November 1st of December. So that all went through, and now we're just closing the loop and money in the right line item with the authority to go ahead and expend it when the bill comes due, which, hopefully, knocking on wood again, will be sometime toward the end of next month. We should have all that new equipment in place.
Okay. Thanks, Chief. Any further public comment? Okay, hearing none, I'll call for the vote. Councilmember Holcomb?
Aye.
Councilmember Phillips?
Aye.
Councilmember Barker?
Aye.
And Councilmember Michelson?
Aye.
Okay, motion passes. Item is new business item B, discussion decision to approve resolution 446. A resolution of the town of Stevensville adopting procedure for amending or repealing a resolution. Councilmember Phillips?
With the council approval, I would move that we suspend council rules and discuss items 10B and 10C. There are the same item, or basically the same concern that we have. And so with council approval, can we suspend the rules and discuss both items?
Ms. Holcomb.
I second it.
Okay, it's been moved by Mr. Phillips and seconded by Ms. Holcomb to suspend council rules to consider items 10B and 10C together, correct?
That's correct.
All right. Discussion on the motion to suspend rules from council. Public comment on the motion to suspend the rules. Okay, hearing none, I'll call for the vote. Councilmember Michelson?
Aye.
Councilmember Barker?
Aye.
Councilmember Phillips?
Aye.
Councilmember Holcomb?
Aye.
Okay, motion passes. We can now discuss 10B and 10C freely.
Okay.
Would you like to present yours first?
I would like to, and okay. Then I will yield to Mr. Michelson.
Sounds good.
During the February 14th council meeting, we had a number of items on the agenda that were rescinding a resolution or making amendments to that. And I had been contacted by some of our constituents in town that this procedure, you know, they were questioning the actions, why a certain item was being rescinded and why different things were taking place, and it wasn't fully explained. And so I did some research with the help of the staff here, and found that there is a statement, a paragraph in the Montana handbook for officials, and so I brought that forward during the meeting. And what I'd like to do is read some of this if I can. I think we have it on the board here. So, like I said, there were several items on the February 14th agenda, and it sought to change or repeal different resolutions. All of those items were tabled because of the procedural question that I raised. And I believe that there should be a uniform way of changing or repealing a resolution, and so we need to provide the consistency on what we do on these items. Because being, you know, a consistent format and procedure, what happens if we go back into the history of the town on resolutions, it will probably be easier to search the archives if we have all of this in writing. I know Mr. Michelson has another idea which he'll present. Additionally, when amending or repealing a resolution, it would be helpful to understand why the action is being taken. The reasons should be stated in a clear and concise way that can be understood. And I believe that, you know, we need to hold a workshop on some of these issues that come up, or, you know, a COW meeting, or maybe a simple committee meeting to discuss a change or an appeal on a resolution. I think that would be appropriate. So what I'm proposing is that we set a standard that when we amend a resolution, we write it out in a consistent manner, in the same way when we repeal a resolution. For repealing a resolution, we don't use that very often here in this community because we don't have that many repeals. Amendments take place quite frequently. I'd like, there's several communities throughout the state that use this process of writing a resolution to repeal or amend. Great Falls is one such community. Let's see. Billings and Helena are some examples of a community that writes a resolution to repeal a resolution. That way it's fully documented what resolution has been repealed and it's on the record books. And so that's my whole idea of presenting this to you. So I yield to Mr. Michelson.
Thank you, Mr. Phillips. I have before me items under 10C, and my proposal mirrors Jerry's proposal in his aspect. It gives us two options. I'd like to read what I've got in the record. Various members of the staff, council, and the mayor have indicated that it is required to implement a resolution in order to rescind or repeal another resolution. It is agreed that an amendment to a resolution should be by resolution. It is agreed that when one resolution is superseded by a council decision, for example, wage and salary or budget resolutions, the affected resolution should be repealed or amended by another resolution. The question at hand is, should a resolution need to be repealed or rescind? Is it required to repeal or rescind by another resolution? There does not appear to be a state statute or town ordinance that requires a resolution to be repealed or rescinded by another resolution. Discussion with town cities such as Hamilton, Chinook, Harlem reveal that this can be accomplished in either manner. The town's attorney, who has previously weighed in and elaborated that it may be accomplished using either method. Stephenville does not have a history of rescinding or repealing a resolution by another resolution. No records of such are in the town resolution book. If a resolution is rescinded or repealed, it would appear that the easiest way to amend or rescind or repeal a resolution would be to place a clerk's note, annotated, the date, time stamp, and reference to that particular council meeting, which during such resolution was rescinded or repealed. And of course, I suggest the motion, but I'd also like to add that in my 3 years and 2 months of being on the council, we only rescinded one resolution to make it go away. That was a resolution number 366, was 3 mayors ago now, but I won't get into details, but we rescinded that one. We didn't do it by another resolution. The previous clerk, Stacy Bartlett, she just timestamped it, put on it that it basically was dead and let it lie. After talking to various town clerks, they're kind of mystified as why we would we'd be rescinding resolutions with other resolutions other than with like budget or salary or wages. They just said let old dogs lie is what they suggested. It's not hurting anything, as Mr. Moore stated in the previous meeting a month ago, for example, having the park board. Okay, one of the council members felt that we need to rescind it and let it go away. Okay. By rescinding it and letting it go away, then you would have to start the process down the road by doing another resolution to bring it back up, to bring a park board, for example, back into existence. I would have to agree with Mr. Joe Moore that if the park board is sitting there, it may not be active at the time, but the resolution is in place. And by just letting it lie there, in my opinion, it's not hurting anything. Really isn't. It's just there. And if the Mayor Dewey feels that he needs to call for the park board meeting down the road, he has that option. If we rescinded this park board, for example, and let it go away, then that takes his flexibility away as far as calling a park board meeting next summer or whatever. And it's just an example. And I think I have to agree with Mr. Phillips. If we want to go by doing a resolution by another resolution, that's fine. They're very scarce. They're rarely ever done by council members. They're usually done by a stated clerk, usually on wages and other things. And, or we can just timestamp them like previous clerk did, Mrs. Bartlett, sitting there that they basically just lying there, they're dead. Or we can just let them lie as they are. It's just open. They're not hurting anything. It gives a flexibility to the mayor or to the council to bring things back up again. But once you take that resolution away and it's gone, it takes the flexibility away from a council or a mayor to be able to bring these things back forward. Just my opinion. Thank you, sir. So I guess my question would be, I don't have a problem with accepting Mr. Phillips, or I don't have a problem with accepting mine. And mine is, I suggest a motion that I move that the council decision to rescind the repeal resolution may be made by a simple council decision with the requirement that the clerk's note be placed in a resolution book allotting the date, time, and council meeting during which the resolution would be repealed and rescinded. So I guess my question would be, the council would be, I'm fine with either one, with Mr. Phillips or with the one that I have. Thank you.
How would council like to proceed? Ms. Barker.
I think that, honestly, I like the one that Mr. Michelson came up. Nothing against Jerry, but again, rescinding with rescinding, if that made sense what we were talking about. I would make a motion to approve resolution 447. We don't have anything on there saying.
There's no communication. No, there's. He has a sample motion written on page 53 of the packet, at the last paragraph.
Okay. I move to make a motion for the council's decision to rescind or repeal a resolution may be by simple council decision with the requirements of the clerk's notes be placed in the resolution book annotated the date, time, and the council meeting during which the resolution was repealed or rescinded.
Is there a second? Ms. Holcomb.
I'll second it.
Okay, it's been moved by Ms. Barker and seconded by Ms. Holcomb that a council decision to rescind or repeal a resolution may be made by a simple council decision with the requirement that a clerk's note be placed in the resolution book annotating the time, date and time and council meeting during which the resolution was repealed or rescinded. Council discussion. Ms. Holcomb.
I was just going to say that I've been doing some extensive research on this as well, and I couldn't find anywhere where they suggested to do a resolution to reset a resolution. All they said is, a resolution remains in effect until rescinded or replaced by. The only thing I found was the ordinances. You have to have an ordinance to replace an ordinance. Right. So I just wanted, I've been looking.
It does say in the government officials handbook that that is the place where we found the best guidance for addressing resolutions.
That's where that came from, yes.
And that's recommended by the local government center in Dan Clark's office, who developed that book. Further council discussion before I open it for public comment. Mr. Phillips.
Yeah, my main thrust on this is, you know, having consistency when we do this, you know, that we have all the facts, why a particular item is going to be rescinded or appealed, and it's in writing. And so that's what my main idea was, is having that document in the books that told why it was being repealed or rescinded. So,
Mr. Michelson?
I agree with you 100%, Mr. Phillips. I also think that by keeping it simple in a small town, we don't do this, like I said, we do it probably once every 4 or 5 years, maybe, if that. It's just very rare.
And I just think that to go through the books, I think the documentation that you're talking about would be the discussion decision that the council would have at a meeting. It would be part of the audio, the video now, and that would, to me, fall into line with that resolution number at the time. She puts a time and date stamp on it, and she goes back into her minutes, and she would have that in the minutes where we discussed it, made a decision on it, and then we moved on. Thank you.
Further council discussion. Public comment. Mr. Moore.
Do I have to stand?
Please.
Okay. I'm a little confused. It sounds like both proposals are similar. I believe you're reading from that code that says a resolution is not a law, but usually sets policy.
That's correct.
And the idea that once a resolution is made, a resolution never goes away, it's always permanent. So the issue, according to this, is that most resolutions require one reading and become effective immediately upon passage. Further on down, it just says that they're there forever. It says resolutions are permanent records and should never be destroyed. So one of the differences that I'm hearing is that you want to do it according to the code, in terms of Montana code, to stay with the handbook and keep it, because you're both identifying the same basic procedures, but you want to kind of uniform it with the code of Montana handbook. And Mr. Michelson, I guess I need to direct this to you. It's kind of hard to talk to you and then not and have to look at him when I'm talking to you, but you're saying, Mr. Michelson, that you want to make it more informal because we're a small town and we can do this in a more informal way, but it's the same thing. Is that correct? Is that what I'm hearing?
Mm-hmm.
Now you have to respond for him, or can you respond to me? I don't understand. This was the last meeting.
Yeah.
The last meeting you made it very clear that I need to direct my comments to the mayor. So if you want to tell the mayor, you can say yes.
Mr. Michelson, you can respond to Mr. Moore.
Thank you.
Do I understand?
Yep. Yeah. That's the way it should be done.
So if I've been at these meetings maybe a little more than 2 years, and I have been through previous mayors, even before you were on the council, it sounds like some of the things that are coming down the pipe right now with this would be that we want to stay within the handbook. My thought would be you'd want to stay because that always becomes the issue of argument as to whether or not we're following the rules or not. If we become too informal, then we're going to be back to where we were before. If you spell it out like it's spelled out here and we maintain that procedure, and I think basically you're both saying the same things, but the procedure that's laid out according to the Montana handbook would allow us little difficulty and staying on the same page. That's what I'm hearing, and that's what I read from. I mean, they're both good, but the procedure seems to be the way the council has acted in the past. You'd rather stick to the letter of the law rather than go with the spirit of the law. Although I do like to compliment the fact that Mr. Michelson did make a comment about we're a small town and we can do things a little easier, something of that nature in the last comment, which gives me hope. So anyway, that's my comment. It sounds like you both want the same thing, but my impression would be if we stuck to the procedure that's spelled out by the handbook, it would help us stick with the letter to what we need to do. Just reading this makes sense, so that's my comment.
Thank you. Further public comment? Mr. Adams.
Mark Adams, 319 College Street. To answer Mr. Moore's comment about the handbook, it's not law, it's recommendations. So as per the county attorney and the assistant county attorney, a violation even of the handbook is not a violation of state law. And if you look at the Montana Code annotated, they use a system similar to what Stevensville already uses. If you look down the list of laws and all that good kind of stuff, every now and again you'll see revised or rescinded or whatever. They don't go with a separate law. Thank you.
it's important to, I think, also distinguish that resolutions are not law. Resolutions set policy internally in the organization.
Exactly.
Further public comment? Any further council discussion? Okay, motion on the floor is to set policy that we can rescind resolutions by simple council decision. So for the council discussion, I'll call for the vote. Councilmember Holcomb.
Aye.
Councilmember Barker.
Aye.
Councilmember Phillips.
Aye.
Councilmember Michelson.
Aye.
Okay, motion passes. Move on to item 10D, discussion decision to set committee of the whole meetings. As you see through the council communication, there are a number of items that we need to discuss through committee of the whole, or the council's expressed desire anyway, to discuss at committee of the whole meetings. For efficiency's sake, I'd ask that if you go with any specific dates that you perhaps lump some of these into the same meeting so that we can reduce the number of meetings that we're here for. Because there is that aspect of scheduling other things. It sounds like we can take the code of conduct off the list. However, council's expressed interest in holding committee of the whole meetings for special event permits, the purchasing policy, the employee reorganization plan, and resolution 281A, council attorney contact policy. I think we got some, the clerk and I sat down the other day and kind of narrowed down some dates depending on how quickly you want to meet. And they're on the slide there, March 19, 20, 21, or 25, and April 3rd or 4th are options for you. So the 19th is going to be Tuesday, and then they progress from there. So, Ms. Barker.
I think if we keep them on the Thursdays instead of having a Tuesday, Thursday, I mean, it's going to let, it's going to be consistency, in my opinion. The 21st is on a Thursday.
Okay.
Well, I think that we can probably do the special events, the purchasing policy, and the resolution 281A all in one meeting because they're not that real big.
Okay.
I think the reorganization plan would probably be the one that would take a little longer.
Okay.
So I think we could pile three of them into one meeting.
Okay, which ones when?
So I think we could do the special events, purchasing policy, and resolution 281. We could do that on the 21st, or do you want me to move that? I move to schedule a committee of the whole meeting for March 21st at, I could probably be here by 6:30.
Okay.
So at 6:30, and we'll discuss special event permits, purchasing policy, resolution 281A, council attorney contract policy.
Is there a second? Mr. Michelson?
I second that.
Okay, it's been moved by Ms. Holcomb and seconded by Mr. Michelson to schedule a committee of the whole meeting for March 21st at 6:30 p.m. To discuss special events, special event permits, purchasing policy, and resolution 281A, council attorney contact policy. Council discussion. Public comment. Okay, hearing none, I'll call for the vote. Mr. Michelson.
Aye.
Ms. Barker?
Aye.
Mr. Phillips?
Aye.
And Ms. Holcomb?
Aye.
Okay, motion passes.
And then what day is the 3rd or the 4th fall on? I don't...
3rd's a Wednesday, 4th is Thursday.
Okay. So then I move that we schedule a committee of the whole meeting for April 4th at 6:30 to discuss Mayor Dewey's employee reorganization plan.
Okay, is there a second?
I second.
Okay, it's been moved by Ms. Holcomb and seconded by Mr. Phillips to schedule a committee whole meeting for April 4th at 6:30 p.m. To discuss Mayor Dewey's employee reorganization plan. Discussion. Public comment. Okay, hearing none, I'll call for the vote. Mr. Phillips?
Aye.
Mr. Michelson?
Aye.
Ms. Holcomb?
Aye.
And Ms. Barker?
Aye.
Okay. Next item is item E, discussion decision regarding a special event permit and alcohol use request for the Highland Games. Ms. Tribbency.
So in Council's packet, Mayor, Council members, in your packet is the complete application for the Highland Games scheduled for the end of this month on Wilson Clark Park. They have provided us with all the information we needed to do a review at staff level, including the liquor license and paying the fines or the fees for that. And we are recommending that council approve this event. There, we don't see any issues with anything, except for, of course, if the snow's still in the park, they may not be able to have the event, and they're fully aware that that may be a possibility, so they will cancel the event if the snow's still there. It's a nonprofit event. They will be doing fundraising for Pantry Partners. The VFW will be providing the alcohol, and there will be games for the public to participate and to view.
Any questions for Ms. Rivency on the permit? Mr. Michelson?
You mentioned a good point. Due to the snow and the weather at the end of the month, we're not be able to hold that. So if you have to reschedule that, would that have to come back up to council again?
No, approval? They will not reschedule it. They will cancel it. So there will not be a fourth annual or whatever annual Highland Games this year.
Okay. Thank you.
Further questions? Ms. Barker?
On the VFW is going to be providing the alcohol. Is this going to be in a closed area like they do at Creamery Picnic? Do they have that planned out?
They do have it. It is in your packet. They will be using bracelets and TIP certified helpers who are going to be ensuring that people who have access to obtain alcohol and drink it are above the age of legal limit.
So there is no designated...
Yes, and they have...
Oh, there is. Okay.
There's,
never mind.
Yep,
never mind.
It's all on your packet.
I just didn't see it before. Sorry.
Ms. Holcomb.
I move to approve a special event permit and alcohol use request for the Highland Games.
Okay, is there a second? Mr. Michelson?
I second that, sir.
Okay, it's been moved by Ms. Holcomb and seconded by Mr. Michelson to approve a special event permit and alcohol use request for the Highland Games. Do you have a question?
Yes, I'm wondering if the snow melts in the park, you know, say 2 weeks, are the grounds going to be firm enough for vehicles to go in there? Because, you know...
It's not likely, depending on how warm it gets. And they'll work with Public Works to make sure that wherever they need to put a vehicle, it's safe to do so.
Okay, that's my biggest concern.
There won't be any parking on the grounds, okay. Obviously. They'll park off-site, but when they need to bring equipment in or whatever it is, they have to move around. We'll probably have designated areas that are safe to drive and not. So some
that
of it is
my concern.
Some of it does have access
roads in there. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you. Any further council discussion on the permit? Public comment. All right. Hearing none, I'll call for the vote. Mr. Phillips.
Aye.
Ms. Barker.
Aye.
Ms. Holcomb.
Aye.
Mr. Michelson.
Aye.
All right, motion passes. Thank you. In the interest of time, I'll keep my report brief. Just real quick, though, let's go over some stuff in the website. The website's got a tremendous amount of functionality to it that if you've explored, you've probably realized. If you haven't explored it, we're going to show you tonight so you're aware. This is brought to our attention. Some council members aren't completely aware of where things are on the website. It's a good opportunity for the public to kind of check it out as well. Here you'll see this is our homepage, so we'll just do a quick tour of where things are. We'll go into agendas in minutes where our public notices happen. At this place, this interfaces with our meetings management software. So as the clerk or whoever puts in a meeting that will hold a public meeting, depending on the board or who's having the meeting, it'll show up on this calendar. And the details of that meeting are then attached. Agendas are always there, and then as packets are available, they're posted. As soon as you approve the minutes, those are scanned in and put into this page as well, and the audio. And we're doing some catch-up work on audio and trying to go back as far as we can to put audio with some of these minutes or with these meetings. Where do we want to go next, Audrey? Let's go to departments and go to administration and finance. And we'll go into the finance department. Because of the size of our packets and our agenda software, we can't necessarily include the claims because of the timelines and that sort of thing in our packet, our council packet that's published. And so in order for the public to have an opportunity to view the claims, as well as council if they so choose to use it, if you go up a little bit, go the other way up.
Down.
Go down.
Keep going.
Go to financial reports. There's a listing there of, I think, at least this fiscal year of worth of finance reports that are provided to the council. So that'll include the claims that are approved that night, as well as the finance officer's report, expenditure and budget reports.
Can I just say one thing?
Sure.
Real quick? Just so the public is aware, too, if you go on your phones, it does not show some of this stuff there. So, and I've happened to find that because I asked April for some information and could not find it on my personal phone. So the only way you're going to see some of this admissions on the right-hand side is going to a computer.
We'll look into that. Everything should have mobile functionality, so we'll talk to MuniCode because everything is supposed to be there for
mobile. But it was really hard for me to find, but once I got into the computer, mm-hmm. I was able to find it that way.
Okay. We'll make a note of that and check with MuniCode. Those are the two main things I wanted the public and the council to be aware of. Obviously, our audits and budgets are available as well. And go to the home, no, go up to the top of the page, please, mm-hmm. and resources. And then let's hit resolutions. We're working on getting ordinances in as well, but Brittany's been working real hard to make sure we at least get resolutions in there. So this is a searchable database for the council and public to use to find any resolution that's been adopted by the town of Stevensville. And out of the four books of resolutions we have, I think we're narrowed it down to we're in the last book, which is the very beginning of time. So we're getting down there, and most of the resolutions will be in there. And they're searchable. So that should help council. Once the resolutions are done, we'll move on to doing ordinances next. I think that pretty much sums it up. Feel free to go in and explore it. And if you have any questions, please let somebody here at Town Hall know, and we'll do our best to get that answered. Mr.
Just to clarify, if you go to the search and hit, if you go to search and then hit finance, type in finance, mm-hmm. it'll come up with finance, it'll come up with those reports, what you had before, the list of it.
And maybe it was because it wasn't, I don't know, maybe she didn't have it fully loaded.
Yeah.
Another resource, if you go to resources and just go to, hang on, forms, or, no, key documents directory, try that one. We're all learning how to use it as well. So this lists every document that exists on the website. So if you know you're looking for something of a document, you can go to this section and find it directly based on where it lives in the website. You can search it by, you know, whatever it is you're looking for. So that's there as well. We're working on getting some of our forms on the website as well, so that you can fill out a form on the website and submit it to the clerk's office instead of printing it, emailing it, all those other things. So, in fact, the police department has an anonymous tip form where you can go on the police department's website, submit a tip of some sort of nature anonymously, and the police department will receive that immediately. And you can also file a police report as well if you would like to be known as to why you're reporting or that sort of thing. So, questions on the website before we move on? Nice. Mr. Michelson.
Not a question. It's just an update that I asked fellow council member Barker and I were in here last fall, right after the Stevensville Cafe Fire, and we were looking up at the ordinance, and I noticed even still that Chapter 15 of our ordinance on the fire is still not updated into our ordinance online. If you look at the ordinance, Chapter 15 still isn't in it.
Okay, see me later, just because as far as I know, everything's been codified. So,
okay.
All right, moving on then. As you're well aware, we continue to be proactive on snow cleanup and potential flooding from snowmelt, which the flooding concerns is what led to a good portion of the snow removal that you saw, where we brought in those contractors. We were very concerned that snow would melt rapidly and cause significant issues throughout the town. So we feel much more comfortable now and are confident we won't have the issues we potentially could have. Number of sandbags have already been distributed. People have helped themselves to the sand pile next door as they need it, as residents start preparing for next week's warmer temperatures. Cameras at Lewis and Clark Park aren't exactly working as we had hoped. They seem to have connectivity issues that the chief of police is working with tech support to resolve. They intermittently work and intermittently, or more often, don't work. Additionally, resolution is on those cameras and the ability to see what's going on is less than what the chief expected, which makes their usefulness somewhat limited, but we're continuing to monitor that and you know, it is what it is. We were successful this week in obtaining a $5,000 grant to help with the expenses related to water rights. That's been an ongoing issue for a number of years for the town. So I worked diligently with the NRC to figure out a way if they would help us with that. They were able to come up with a $5,000 special grant for us, and that contract or that grant agreement rather is on its way for signatures. We expect the total cost to resolve all of the deals that we've got going on with water rights to be in the ballpark of around $25,000 based on the estimate that our water rights attorney has given us on timelines. However, that cost will be spread over the next calendar year or more. So as he indicated, this could be a long road type of deal versus a get it done next month. But nonetheless, we've got $5,000 more than we had before to go towards that project, which is helpful. Some time ago, I came to the council and you granted me authority to go forward on investigating the Middle Burnt Fork property adjacent to our well field. We brought had an appraiser come in and look at that, and he's developing an appraisal for that. So once that appraisal is back, which I expect probably any time now, then we'll bring the council back together and hold an executive session to decide how to move forward on that property, if at all. So that's all I have on my executive report. Let's go on to town council comments. Any comments? Ms. Holcomb.
I've been doing a lot of soul searching, a lot of researching, and I noticed that our side never gets told. So I'm here tonight to tell my side of the story, since we seem to be continuing to be labeled as bullies. And for the record, I'm speaking for myself and not for the other council members. For over a year now, we have been trying to coach our mayor, but every time I say something or send him an email, he either doesn't respond or he comes back attacking me. I don't send many emails anymore because if I do, I'm being told that I'm either attacking, accusing, or bullying the mayor and the employees. This is just for questioning something I feel was not done legally by our policies. In my opinion, I don't feel we are bullying anyone just because we're asking questions and trying to get an answer on something that was done. Sorry, Mayor, you cannot do things without our consent of the council, so yes, we are your boss. If you go by the actual the powers, you have it. I don't know what Brian West gave you, but the ones you follow is the 7-3-203. Never has the council been treated this way in years I have sat at this table, always digging into our emails, which I know they are public, and then running to the press or news station with them. We may have had disagreements in the past among the employees, council, and mayor, but it was never this bad. I've been told several times that when people come in to pay their bill, the mayor's son is running all over the place and the mayor is nowhere to be found. Who is watching his son, and are they being paid to babysit? Then we sit here and listen to our clerk chastise the council, accuse Councilmember Michelson of deleting the Dropbox without proof, which is against our guidelines, where it says, and free from abusive language or unsupportive allegations. And because it is a freedom of speech, the council spouses have the right to make comments. This was not appropriate for an employee to do during public comments or even at a public meeting, and for the mayor to just sit there and to allow it to happen was wrong. Our town is looking like a soap opera, yet better yet, a circus. We need to stop this childish game and start working for the citizens of this town. That is why we were voted to do this, to this table to do. It seems like we are always having to defend ourselves, and I, for one, feel we need to move forward. I am not saying anything with the fear of being accused. I am done not saying anything with the fear of being accused of bullying, harassing, attacking, and accusing. Thank you.
For the council comment, Ms. Barker.
Mine is approval of minutes. On February 14th, we denied the minutes, the meeting minutes for the January 24th meeting. We asked that the clerk, Audrey, make corrections to the public comment section and add her full comments to this section, as well as the other citizens that commented and were in detail. These minutes should have been included in this meeting for approval. Again, we are behind in approval of minutes. I asked back in December if we were all caught up for approvals, and I was asked Audrey if we were caught up. She replied yes. As a clerk, this is something that we should not be lagging in behind. In the 3 years being on council, the former clerk / court clerk, Stacy Bartlett, was never behind on any meeting minutes for any of the council meetings or Cal meetings. This has got to change. We shouldn't have to approve 2 or 3 minute meetings back. I would like to see the change and go forward with this the way that it used to be. I would also like to see that the agenda packets include the claims two days prior to the meetings. We used to see the preliminary claims sheet and then a final claim sheet. These need to be available for the public to see as well. Not the day of the meeting. This will help the public understand how the town's money is being spent. Another thing that is, it would also be nice if the Planning and Zoning Board would also notify us of a new business that is either being built or is coming to town. Communication goes a long way, and it is, again, that is one area that we cannot find to relay to the council. Construction starting in May on Main Street, the MDOT, the only way that I found out this was happening was through the Main Street Association. What type of construction is going to happen? We've never seen any plans on this. We've never been told that this is going to happen. This is going to affect the whole town. Communication again. She knew about it. I'm sure the town knew about it. But again, why weren't we notified? Thank you.
The council comment. Board reports. I know the airport board met this week. Mr. Michelson?
I did not. I was not able to make it, sir.
Any other board reports?
I don't have one for our next meeting. After that, we finally have a TED
next week.
Mm-hmm.
No other board reports? Okay. Before we adjourn, I just want to state, if we're going to keep with this theme that we're free from abusive language and unsupported allegations, then the topic of my son is not to be spoken of at this table. Don't bring it up.
I'm just... I've been...
This meeting's adjourned.